I want to change gears for a little bit and get back on course to preaching and teaching as we have for some time. And what I should have done when we started the broadcast or the webcast tonight, I should have prayed before the singers come up, but I failed to. It just slipped my mind. And so I'd like to pray this evening. I'm going to ask you who are watching, who have joined us, if you would pray with me and for me. Here's what I know. Without the Lord's help, unless the Lord helps me to help you, then we will leave tonight and it'll all be in vain. It'll be a vain effort. So if you would, please pray with me and for me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and Lord, I'm most needy. You know my inabilities. You know my insufficiencies. You know how pitiful I am. But Lord, you know I want to be used by you. I want you to take this unworthy, this pitiful vessel and use it for your glory and your honor. Oh God, please. There's anything that would hinder any unconfessed sin or anything that would hinder you using me. Please forgive me tonight. Please, Father, help me to be a vessel of honor, bringing glory to you. Father, I pray you bless the electronics tonight. I ask you just to put your hand on it and maybe help it to work like it ought to. Father, I bless you. I ask you to bless our listeners that they can stay focused in, not be distracted. I pray you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Oh, Father, you know the need tonight. And I ask you to help us now, and we'll give you all the glory. You must increase, and we must decrease if anything of value is done this evening. Oh, God, get glory now. Help us. I love you and I need you. And have your blessed way bless each listener that's tuned in. Bless this church. May something be said that some lost soul, the Holy Spirit, might be able to use to convict some lost soul. Thy will be done, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to read a verse to you just to get us started this evening. This may be more of a lesson, more of a Sunday school lesson than it is a message. I don't know. Sometimes that's how it works out, and then sometimes it works a little different. In the 2 Corinthians, and you You don't need to turn, but let me read a verse to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, that was the Apostle Paul. That was the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's saying this: I know how the devil works. I know his devices. Now, the reason I read that to you this evening is because as we come to chapter 26, we're going to be looking at some of the devil's tactics, how the devil works. We will see through David's enemy those who have rejected God's anointed king. We're going to see some of the traps, the tricks, the characteristics of the devil. And by the way, let me say this: just as God uses his people to carry out his work, the devil has his people to carry out his work. And so let me back up and just bring you up to date as we work our way up to chapter 26, and then I'll give you a few truths out of that chapter. In chapter 23 and verse number 19, we run across a group of people called the Ziphites. The Ziphites are David's kinfolk. They are of the tribe of Judah. Now let's see what they do in chapter 23 and verse 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakkalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down. Let me read that verse again. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, blessed be ye the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Now, I'm not going to read any farther. I just wanted you to see, before we get to chapter 26, I wanted you to see in chapter 23 that the Ziphites have went to Saul and have turned David in, if I can say it that way. They have told Saul where where David is at, and they have agreed to help Saul to capture and kill David. And so Saul, in verse 21, said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me." Now, if you were to read on down through chapter 23, you would see that Saul, had God not intervened, Saul would have caught David and no doubt have killed him. But we know God was on David's side, and certainly David was safe. But nevertheless, the Ziphites, barring God's divine intervention, the Ziphites would have had a hand in seeing David's death. And so that's in chapter 23. In chapter 24, we come to the cave in Engedi. And many of you all know the story. David's inside the cave, and Saul comes in, and David cuts off part of his garment, and the Lord smote his heart. And David repented or felt bad at the least of that. And so he goes out and he basically, if I was putting it into East Tennessee language, David tells Saul, "I could have killed you, but I didn't. I spared you. I am not your enemy." And so the Bible, as we conclude chapter 24, the last verse and the last phrase, let me read the whole verse. "And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home." It's as if at the end of chapter 24, Saul is through attacking David's life. He realizes David is not out to kill him, is not the enemy, and so he goes home. But the Bible says, "But David and his men gat them up unto the hole." And then in chapter 25, this is where we preached last in 1 Samuel. We looked at the death of Samuel. And when Samuel died, David moved down to the wilderness of Paran, a very rugged and difficult place to live. But I suspect he felt like he needed to go down there for his personal safety. And we had the story of Nabal, and I'm not going to preach that text again, but many great lessons regarding Nabal. As we come to the end of chapter 25, Nabal dies and David takes Abigail, his widow, to be his wife. And so now we come down to chapter 26. Now, for those of you who may not have tuned in or may not attend our church and may not have heard all the messages, David is working his way slowly towards the throne of Israel. He's going to be the king of Israel. God has anointed wanted him. Saul cannot accept the will of God, and so Saul is going to attempt to destroy David. And my, as you see, here's the great lesson for us. As you seek the will of God for your life, there will be those who will oppose you. There will be those who are against you. There will be struggles getting where God wants you to get. But if you'll just be faithful to God, we'll see a little later, a few more chapters over, God will get you where He wants you to be. And so that's where we're working at. Now we're coming to chapter 26, and guess who's going to show up again? The Ziphites. And so what I would like to do, and I know maybe it's a little lengthy, but I want to read this chapter, and if you would, as we read, do not do like I do sometimes and read and do not comprehend what I'm reading. Try to grasp what's being said, and let's see what the Lord has for us. Excuse me. Verse number 1, "And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon," or Jeshimon, whichever pronunciation is correct, "which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was coming very deep. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the brother of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come, to die, or he shall descend in the battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Art not thou a valiant man, and who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of thy people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is in the cruse of water that was at his bolster." And Saul knew David's voice, and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go, serve other gods.' Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains." Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." And David answered and said, "Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today. But I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. And let him deliver me out of all tribulation." Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now, I know that was a lengthy reading, but I felt like it was necessary this evening, and I hope you got that story. And here's what we see as we come to chapter 26, that David has left the wilderness of Paran, and he's come back to the wilderness of Ziph. He's come back to this this hill called Hakkalah, which is before Jeshimon. And so we understand that now he's made an adjustment. After Nabal has died, he has decided, and perhaps thinking Saul is no longer after him, he has decided to come back into the territory of the tribe of Judah. And so he's back where he was in chapter 23 when he almost lost his life. But I want you to notice some things as we come to this particular passage. We see the Ziphites, not only in 1 Samuel 23, but also in this chapter, they go to Saul informing him of David's whereabouts. Now, I want to take these Ziphites for just a few minutes and draw some practical lessons for our life. My, there is a crowd out there who is after us, who would like to tear us down spiritually. And so I want to ask this question: what can we learn from the Ziphites? What can we learn from them? The first thing I want you to understand about the Ziphites, they rejected God's anointed to be king. God had anointed David to be the king. The Ziphites had rejected God's choice. They turned their back on who God had chosen to be their king. They're rejecting God's will for their life. And I think that we can say this. I believe this would be right. I believe there's a lot of Ziphites in our world today. They know the will of God. They know, but they have rejected the anointed king that God has for their life. I may be preaching to you. I believe I'm preaching to church members tonight who maybe are truly saved, but will not yield to the lordship and the kingship of King Jesus. I believe that. It does not change the facts. It does not change the situation. He's still Lord. He's still coming King. He's still God's choice. And my, if you don't want your life to go downhill, I would encourage you to take God's side. Just take God's side on this matter. What can we learn from the Ziphites who rejected David, God's anointed, to be king? What's the practical lesson? How is it we can make application from this chapter? Well, let me just give you a few things. When you reject God's anointed, I'm talking about the Lord, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you decide you're going to live your life your way, you're going to do your thing, when you do that, it will be a natural tendency. It will be a truth in your life that you will soon yoke up with the ungodly. Now the Ziphites, here's what I say, here's what I wonder, if the Ziphites are going to reject David, why don't they just live their life? Why don't they just let David do his thing? And why do they not just do what they want to do? But I want you to notice what they did. The Bible tells us in the first verse, and the Ziphites came unto Saul. They came unto Saul to give what they're doing. When they rejected God's anointed, the next step in their life and the next step in the believer's life or in the sinner's life, when God deals with it, the next step when you reject God and God's anointed is to yoke up with the ungodly. Now, you make light of that, or you can say whatever you want to say. That's the way it works. Here they was. The first thing they did, they rejected David, but then they came unto Saul. My, there's a lot of folks today, they think they can just play in the middle. They can just be neutral on this thing. But my, it doesn't work that way. And then I want to just say, I'm just going to say these rather quickly. I want to try to not wear you out this evening. But not only will you yoke up with the ungodly, but you will sink deeper into sin. Now, the first sin was rejecting God's chosen king. The second sin was being an accomplice to murder. The attempted murder, I guess I should say. They're having a hand in attempting to see David murdered. My, I say that's pretty serious. And I think the lesson that we get here, when you reject the Lord's anointing, when you reject Jesus, when you reject Him as a believer, if you choose to live your own life, by the way, let me just stop and say, you're listening to one who believes there is a sin unto death, and I would encourage you to take that very seriously. I believe you can cross the deadline if you're a child of God, and He'll take you out of this life. I'm convinced of that. And so I say to you this evening, when you reject the Lordship and the future kingship of Jesus, you'll sink deeper into sin. You see, sin in your life never stays. It never stays. The word coming to my mind is neutral, but that's not the right word. It never sits there dormant. Sin is as cancer. It's as a malignancy. It continues to grow. And if it's, listen to me, friend, if it's left alone, if it's ignored, if you refuse to deal with sin in your life, it will grow. And it will grow. and it will grow. It will continue to take control of your life. And so we see not only did they yoke up with the ungodly, but they began to sink deeper in sin. And then we see that you, and I've already said it, but let me just say it again. You just can't be neutral in this thing. You're either sowing or you're scattered. You're either for him or you're against him. My, no, we live in this world where folks want to just strike a middle ground. I don't really want to be, I don't want to be involved in this thing. I don't want to get involved in this thing of religion, this thing of God, this thing of serving the Lord. But I don't want to get involved in the things of the world. Can I say this? It doesn't work that way. Listen to me now. Church, listen to me. Please teach your children this truth. You're either living for God or you're living for the devil. No middle ground. Let me get real still for just a minute. In your life, Mom and Dad, you're either living for the Lord or you're living for the devil. Oh, I know that's a harsh little statement. You're either going forward spiritually or you're backing up. You're not standing still. You better heed what I'm saying. There's no neutrality in this thing of serving the Lord. No middle ground. And so we learn just a few things about the Ziphites when you reject the Lord. But where I really wanted to mention just a few little things tonight, I want us to look at the nature of our spiritual adversary. Now, here are the Ziphites, and even though they are kinfolk to David, if I could say it that way, they're of the tribe of Judah, just like David. We might even say this, they're family. They're from the same tribe of people. But we can learn some things about them. And even though they were of that same tribe that David was from, they were his adversary. They were his adversary. The fact of the matter was they were interested in seeing him killed. I do not understand that unless they wanted him dead, fearing he would take vengeance on them once he became king. I don't know unless that was it. But what do we see about these Ziphites? Number one, David's enemy, the Ziphites, his adversary, was violent. His adversary was cruel and wicked in their actions. Now, the fact of the matter was, they had no reason to see David killed. There was no purpose. There was no valid reason, motive, whatever word that I'm searching for tonight. There was no reason that they should have wanted David to have been killed. I mean, he's not treated them badly. He's not cheated them. He's not killed some of the Ziphites. As I've said, he's kinfolk. But they're still seeking to kill him. And my, I could just, uh, I, I guess I ought to just take time out and get off my little outline here a little bit and say this. And I say it to you folks all the time, the Ridgeview. When I say you folks, I'm talking about the Ridgeview Baptist Church. You have an adversary, and he's seeking not just to harm you, not just to injure you, not just to harm your children, not just to injure your children, not just to hinder your children, not just to hinder your spiritual home, not just to injure your marriage, not just to do harm to your church. And let me stop right there and say this. He wants to destroy him. He is a destroyer. Your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may, here's the word Peter used, devour. Seeking whom he may devour. The adversary wants to devour you this evening. Mom and Dad, I just want to stop and drive this point home. He wants to devour your children. He wants to destroy them. That's his goal. I say it so many times. I know some of you could probably say what I'm going to say next, but I'm going to say it again to you anyway. As long as I'm around, I'm going to be telling you this and warning you about this. There is a target on the back of your children, and the devil is shooting at them. And his goal is their total and absolute destruction. Be sure of that, Mom. Be sure of that, Dad. You go ahead and play lukewarm. You go ahead and play church and just go through the motion. But you know this, and one day, the words of this preacher will haunt your mind. The devil has a target on the back of your children, and he's out to destroy their lives. As sure as I'm up here trying to preach to you tonight, you better heed what I'm saying. He's violent, he's cruel, he's wicked, and when he destroys your child's life, he'll stand back and laugh and mock and belittle them. And so we see the Ziphites. They wanted to destroy David. They wanted him dead. Not harmed, not knocked out of the kingship, but they wanted him dead. And then we learned this lesson from the Ziphites, that many times those who are closest to us are the ones who seek to hurt us the most, spiritually speaking. That's just how it is. And I don't know why that, I do know why that is. So many times, folks who are lacking in spirituality and many times unsaved, they think they know best for their loved ones when in fact they don't. Many times they're fearful their loved ones are going overboard, spiritually speaking. They think they're just going off the deep end, spiritually speaking. And so many times them trying to help, those closest to you trying to help you, thinking they're doing the right thing, are in reality hurting you spiritually. That's just how it is. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. And I know there's folks close to us that help us spiritually. I'm aware of that. And I know that. But I'm also aware there's those that would seek to tear you away, to hurt you, to harm you, to keep you from being what you ought to be, and thinking they're doing the right thing all along. So you need to understand that. You need to understand that, dear child of God. Sometimes those you love the most, they just may not understand. And we see that with the Ziphites. They were David's family, but they were out to destroy him. And then the Ziphites not only teach us that those that are closest to us many times seek to harm us spiritually, and not only do they teach us the violent and cruel and wicked character of our adversary, but they teach us our adversary's persistency. And I know y'all know this. I know you're well aware of this. But the fact of the matter is, we have a persistent adversary. You may win the battle today, and I pray you do. I pray you have spiritual success in your life. I pray everything goes like it ought to go. But can I tell you this? The adversary will be back. He will be back. Be sure of that. Don't take that lightly. You think about this, and it'll cause you to shudder if you can get a hold of it. The devil will be back to tempt your children and to attack your marriage and to attack our church. As sure as I'm standing here, we have an adversary. He will not give up. He's persistent. The Ziphites tried to kill David in 1 Samuel 23. Here we are, three chapters later. I don't know how much time has elapsed, but some amount of time has passed by. And guess what they're doing? They're still trying to see David killed. They're still trying to contribute their part and do their part to see that David was killed. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13, this is the Lord when he conquered the devil in the temptation in the wilderness. Luke says it this way, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, get this phrase, for a season. For a season. He left for a little while. He's coming back. And let me just remind you. Let me try to make it a reality in your life. The devil is coming back to your children, your home, our church, your life. The devil will be back. That's his nature. He is persistent in his character. Our spiritual adversaries are not like us. Our adversaries, they do not give up. We see that great truth. And then we see this. Our adversary many times encourages or arouses others to sin. Our adversary is a recruiter, if I can say it that way. In 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verses 28 and 29, it appears Saul has decided to quit chasing David. He has went back home, and David has taken his men and went to the wilderness of Paran. And it looks like in chapter 23, just the last verse, I believe it's the last verse, it looks like Saul's give up. It looks like he's quit. No more is he going to chase David. But then we come to our text, and the Bible says in verse 1, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, and in verse 2, then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph. Now, the point I'm trying to make, the Ziphites motivated Saul to pick up his sin again and to go against God's people. They recruited Saul back to the wickedness that he was involved in before. And my, we've all seen that. Maybe some poor old sinners decided they're going to do better. They're going to straighten up. And they get out here and they run into an old friend, or they run into an old girlfriend or boyfriend. And before you know it, that individual has recruited them, has encouraged them, has challenged them, and they have gotten right back into the sin they had previously given up. We've all seen that. It's all been in that line. Now I'll give you the verse, and might sound like a broken record, I guess, to our church sometimes, but the Bible says this: be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Who you run with will affect your actions. Now, here's what young people think. They think they're exempt from that. Look at me, young people. Listen to me. Don't get distracted. I want you to focus in on me for just a minute. And I want to say this to you. Bad company will create bad actions in your life. Evil communication, evil fellowship, evil dealings, running with wicked people will corrupt your good manners. It'll cause you and lead you down the path to wickedness and to sin. Mark it down, write it down. You better be careful who you listen to and who you run with. Amen, amen, Preacher Sexton. That's right. I pray, Mom and Dad, that's why parents with any sins are very careful who they let their children hang around and run with and play with, or whatever word that I need to say. And then the Ziphites, not only that, they teach us that our adversary recruits and arouses others to sin. And my, they'll arouse your children to sin. But the Ziphites teach us that our adversary is a crafty adversary. Now, the fact of the matter is, I ask you this, why didn't they kill David? Why was it the Ziphites didn't directly confront David and kill him? Why was it they wanted to work through Saul? I think they were being sly. They were seeking to get someone else to do their dirty.